Welcome, everyone, to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are live in the Tan Talk studio in Clearwater, Florida. Brother Ken, as always, you give us a wonderful introduction, and thank you. We love your program. And Brother Ken and I have this bond, and it has to do with the Tampa Bay Bucks. Brother Ken, who just pulled out a victory over Washington and Redskins 17-16 about 30 seconds before I went on the air. And we are very happy about that. Right, Brother Ken? We are big old Bucks fans, along with our engineer, Brother Bill. We're quite a Bucks fan rooting group of people around here at Tan Talk 1340. We're glad you have joined us today for Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope. We are always live every Sunday from 4 to 6 on this radio station. This station also is carried live up in Arkansas, Mississippi area on different stations, so we are excited about that. Plus, if you are listening locally, you can also go to the internet and go to www.tantalk1340.com and catch us on the internet. And great reception there around the world. So if you have friends, relatives, someplace that you think could benefit from Living the Good Life, we welcome you to give them a quick call or a text and say, hey, why don't you tune in on TanTalk1340.com and pick up today's show. It's always live. We are not pre-recorded, and we are excited to be here in the studio today. Even though this is kind of a dreary, gray afternoon in sunny Florida, a cold front just came through a little while ago, and it's threatening to get colder. But right now, I think it's still in the 50s. So to some of you in different parts of the world, that seems pretty warm. To us here, not so much. All right. Deb and Connie, you're both on the line at this time?
I'm here.
Whoa. How about that? That is really cool. The Bucks just won, guys.
Yeah. By the skin of their teeth.
Yeah, by the skin of their teeth. But, hey, that's pretty darn cool, don't you think? Yes. So God is doing some mighty, mighty things. Deb, you are joining us from Houston, Texas. I told you on the phone earlier today that it just seems so long since we've seen you. And word has it you're coming our direction soon. Isn't that right?
Yes, ma'am. We will be there Super Bowl weekend.
Yes, because what else is going on besides the Super Bowl, which we will, of course, watch? But what else is going on?
That will be the 200th radio show.
No way.
For our radio program.
200th. Can you believe that? Connie, I got to go to you. Can you believe 200 shows?
How about it?
Oh, my gosh. Connie was here in the studio with me, along with Brother Nathan, on the very first show, April the 15th or 17th, something like that, right?
Yep.
Of 2007. So we will be celebrating our fourth anniversary in April, but before that, we're celebrating the 200th show. What does that mean to you, Connie? I got to go to you first. What does it mean to you since you've been a part of it all this time and never, ever backed away from it?
What a tremendous outreach we have.
Yes.
And it's such a blessing to us all, and it's such a privilege.
Yes.
Huge privilege.
It is a huge privilege. What is our goal here, Connie? I got to ask you that.
Healing and restoration for hurting lives.
Amen. Amen. That's what it's all about at Beacon of Hope, isn't it?
Yep, absolutely.
And it's all through the Word of God. Deb, what do you think about our goals for this radio show? And are you excited to come and join us in Tampa Bay on February 6th?
I'm excited anytime I get to be on the radio show, but I am especially excited to be able to be in studio. I miss you guys. It's going to be a big homecoming for us.
It will be. And you haven't even seen our new digs, have you?
No, I have not, and I can't wait.
Yeah, the last time you and Alice were here, we were still in that hotel, which was very good to us, and we appreciate the time we were there at the Executive Inn, but since Memorial Day weekend, isn't it, Connie? We have had our own space, and again, and it is so wonderful. I don't know. Connie, are you comfortable there in our new digs?
No.
No? Did you say no? You are.
I think it's phenomenal.
It is.
Waiting to bust through the walls, you know, next door and take
yes.
it outside, too.
Absolutely, because, I mean, God is doing a great thing, and we love our space. And, I always get to church a lot earlier than anybody else on Wednesdays and Sundays and pray and spend time. Pastor Jim usually gets there with me, too, early. And, you know, today I was just sitting on the altar and just looking out and just thanking God for the blessings of what he's done this year in 2010 to put us back in our own space, to get our stuff out of storage, and to have a place we call home, you know? It's incredible.
Too cool.
It really is. It really is. We're going to have a great show today, guys. We're going to talk about, you know, we're almost to Christmas Day, so we got a lot we want to talk about. And we're going to build faith in the people. And all those of you listening today, I think you're going to be blessed by this show. You do have time to call a friend, a relative, and join Deb and Connie and I today as we get into the Word of God. You can find your Bible, and you can go to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 1, and then we'll go from there in just a little bit. Ray Bolts has a great song. Connie, you love this song. I know you do, and you love Ray Bolts, right?
Yep.
Shepherd Boy, it's one of my favorites, and I know it's one of yours. And listen to this, and then we're going to get into the Word, and these two are going to comment, and we're going to have a great time together. First of all, let's pray. Dear God, we thank you and praise you for this opportunity today to be live on this radio station. We thank you, God, that we can come together and celebrate your presence in our lives. We thank you, God, that you are the God that sees ahead and makes every provision for our needs. You are the God that teaches us your word. So today, Lord, teach us your word as we gather around it, as we listen to this music, as we share our thoughts. And Lord, just grow us up in you this day. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Jesse's sons stood before the prophet. Their father knew a king would soon be found. Each one passed except the last. No one thought to call him, for surely he would never wear a crown. But when others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. Even though your life seems filled with ordinary things, in just a moment he can touch you. A shepherd boy, God may see a king. One by one, problems come, dreams get shattered. Sometimes it's hard. And things like chance and circumstance, they don't really matter. Our Father holds tomorrow in his hands. And when others see a shepherd, a moment, he can touch you. There.
Well, it wasn't the oldest, wasn't the strongest chosen on that day. Yet the giants fell, nations trembled. They stood in his way. And when others see a shepherd,
praise God. I love that song. Even though our lives may seem like they're ordinary, God has special things and special plans in store for you. And he certainly did for a little shepherd boy named David so long ago. Deb and Connie, as that song was playing, God took me to a different place. So here we are. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 11. You know, that never happens, does it, guys, that we change things a little or whatever?
During live worship, that's all.
You just never know, right? And that song was just speaking to me, because one of the things we want to stress today in this radio show is that God has had a plan from the beginning of time. In fact, there is no time with God, really. He is the beginning. He had no beginning, and he will never end. So he's eternal, and we're going to talk about that today. But in Isaiah chapter 11, let's go there. This is one of the prophecies that I wasn't planning on using today, but during that song, I felt very led to do this. Let's go here and see what came through the pen of Isaiah. And then as we go through these scriptures, then I'm going to talk to you both and ask you some questions here. But Isaiah chapter 11 ended up being a prophecy that God spoke through the pen of the prophet Isaiah 700 or 800 years before Jesus came to this earth. Now, this is very significant because God already had his plan. The Eternal Father had his plan. He knew what he was going to do, and he knew he was going to send his son Jesus to this world to be the savior of all of us for our sin and also for our sicknesses. So in Isaiah 11, chapter 11, verse 1, we see the prophecy here. It's all about Jesus. And Isaiah writes this: a green shoot will sprout from Jesse's stump. Now, Jesse was the earthly father of David, who became the king and who wrote so many of the Psalms. This shoot was David, okay? But it's also talking about Jesus coming from this line, is what it's talking about. From his roots, a branch. And that is talking about Jesus right there. The life-giving Spirit of God will hover over him, the Spirit that brings wisdom and understanding. Now, these are the nature, this is the attributes of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And this is God's plan, and he prophesied long ago that he was going to bring his son Jesus through the line of David. And so he says, this is coming, this wonderful, wonderful branch, we call him, Jesus, and he's going to bring wisdom and understanding. And we're going to talk about that in a little while. That Spirit that gives direction and builds strength. Now, there's four things right there: wisdom, understanding, direction, and gives you strength. The Spirit that instills knowledge and the fear of God, reverence for God. And this will be all his joy and delight. And it also goes on to say that Jesus, this is the prophecy about Jesus, is not going to judge by appearances. And I want to talk to you all about that in a minute, too. Not judge by appearances. He won't decide on the basis of hearsay. This is our wonderful Jesus we're talking about here. He'll judge the needy by what is right. He'll render decisions on earth's poor with justice. His words will bring everyone to awed attention. And boy, we know that happened when Jesus came to this earth and walked among the children of Israel, telling parables and stories and teaching them. His words will bring everyone to awed attention. Believe me, that happened. Thousands sat and listened to his talks. A mere breath from his lips will topple the wicked. Each morning, he'll pull on sturdy work clothes and boots and build righteousness and faithfulness in the land. What did Jesus come to do? He came to give us righteousness, to build that within us. Righteousness is right standing with God and faithfulness in the land. And then let's go over to one other place before I get these two to comment here. Jeremiah 23. Again, I wasn't planning on going there, but that's where we are right now. Jeremiah 23 is also a prophecy about Jesus. And here he's called the David branch because Jesus came through the line of David. And it says in about verse 3 that he'll take over and gather what's left of his sheep, gather them in from the lands where they've been driven, bring them back where they belong. They'll recover and flourish. That's what a shepherd does. And who is the shepherd? Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I'll set shepherd leaders over them who will take good care of them. That's pastors and leaders. They won't live in fear or panic anymore. All the lost sheep will be rounded up. That's God's decree. This is a rhema word from God to us right now that he is rounding up the lost sheep and bringing them into that place where they need to be and causing them to desire that relationship with God. And so in verse 5 of Jeremiah 23, God says through the prophet Jeremiah, time's coming, God's decree, when I'll establish a truly righteous David branch. The David branch is Jesus, okay? A ruler who knows how to rule justly. He'll make sure of justice and keep people united. In his time, Judah will be secure again, and Israel will live in safety. This is the name they'll give him. And in most translations, it says, the Lord, our righteousness. In the Message Bible, it says, the God who puts everything right. And in the original Hebrew, that name for God is Jehovah Tsidkenu, which means the Lord, our righteousness. And that is what Jesus was prophesied to come to this world to do, to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Righteousness means right standing with him. Okay, so let's get back to my two guests here, and let's go back to Isaiah 11, and let's talk about God's plan to send Jesus to this earth. We celebrate it at this Christmas time, and I think so often we just don't get the full understanding of why Jesus came to this earth and what his plan was or his goal. So often it seems like it becomes just a celebration of family and friends and gifts and shopping, and it is so much more than that. Connie, let me start with you. When you think here about Isaiah 11 and this prophecy, what does this do for you when you know that God had this whole thing planned forever? What does that say to you, or how do you feel about that? Let me ask you that.
Well, I know that God created man to be a companion to him.
Right. Exactly.
You know, he wanted to have a relationship with him, and then of course, then the woman was. Created and then the apple happened and
right
and all that.
Yeah,
you know, I it's amazing to me that people can't imagine that there's a God,
or right,
they don't believe that there's a God.
I know.
When you look at how everything has gone on since the beginning of time,
right,
and you know, he knows everything. You know, how could you not trust somebody who knows everything?
Exactly.
And
but yet we struggle with that, don't we?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And you know, he knew that Adam and Eve were going to sin.
Right.
And it's not. He just knows. He knows from the beginning to the end.
Right.
He he doesn't have an in.
Right.
And so he put into place, I mean, way back in the beginning, he put into place this catch, this safety net.
Safety net. All right. I like
Jesus,
that.
The safety net.
He is. Jesus is. Yes.
And teach us how he would come and, as a part of God, he would, and a God being, he would come and live on earth as a human being like us. So that, I think he kind of came as a, like an understudy to learn, to help God understand exactly, not that he needed help, but just so that, you know, he could experience life as a human being.
Yeah. It says that he wanted to come to this earth and live the way we live, suffer the things we suffer. And yes, yeah, take on all of that humanness. Yeah.
So what that tells me, the whole thing, that whole, you know, that he knew, that he made a safety net, tells us just how very much that he cares about us and how he, you know, every time we screw up,
right,
he doesn't knock us down with a ball bat.
Right.
You know, he's there saying, okay, let me help you up. Let's do this again.
Exactly. Well, I mean, that's cool. And what you're referring to back in Isaiah 11, about verse 3 or 4, I think, he won't judge by appearances. He understands us. Deb, would you comment on all that about just how Jesus gets involved in our lives and maybe how it affects you to know that God had this big plan from the beginning and he knew that we needed a savior?
Sometimes the whole God knowing everything from the beginning to the end,
mm-hmm.
It's very overwhelming for me.
Right. Yeah.
Sometimes I get really frustrated and just say, okay, God, if you knew I was going to do this, then why didn't you show me a different way?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then I have to remember that God gave us free will.
Right. Exactly.
And the whole point of free will is for us to do this on our own, for us to make the choice to answer the call that God has given us.
Amen. Amen.
I think that I find it interesting how God sent his son to us. If you really study the scriptures and look at what's really going on at the time that Jesus came.
Yeah.
And how it was planned out.
Exactly.
It makes me wonder. I mean, there's sometimes now where I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm ready for Jesus to come again. I'm tired of this.
Right. We all feel that way from time to time, I think. Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me wonder, I mean, we all wonder, okay, when's it going to happen?
Right.
But it makes me wonder the progression of things, even though, you know, Revelation says this and this and this is going to happen.
Right. Exactly.
You know, it makes me wonder the progression of things as to how God is going to do this again.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And what an awesome time it's going to be. I think it's really interesting that, you know, God could have come down and said, here I am, let's do this. But, you know, he had to have something that was believable for our, and I hate to say it this way, but for our simple, feeble minds.
Yeah, right.
You know, because if God would have come down and here I am.
Yeah.
It would have freaked everybody out.
But he really did in so many ways because he came in the person of his son. And for you're right about that. It did freak out a lot of people and they didn't want to believe that the Messiah had come. In fact, you know, a good segment of the world's population still doesn't believe that, you know, that God came to earth in the form of Jesus. Yet that is what we celebrate at this Christmas season, that he did, you know.
Right.
Yeah. And go ahead.
Well, no, and I mean, I agree with you. But at the same time, you know, it's one thing for there were those that believed and those that didn't. And there's still people that way today.
Yes.
But at the same time, you know, I realize that Christmas is about Jesus' birth, but I have to go and look at Jesus' crucifixion and realize that there were people standing at the foot of that cross going, okay, if you're the Son of God, then, you know, snap your fingers, you know, twitch
exactly.
your nose. You know, you can stop this from happening.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they heard the words that Jesus spoke to his father.
Right.
You know, why are you letting this happen to me? Why is this happening?
Right.
You know, and they saw him bleed and they saw that he was man.
Right.
Which made it to me even more believable when he rose
right.
from the dead, that it was like God is trying to show you that all this hurt and all this pain and everything that you go through, that's why I'm letting my son go through this for you.
Exactly. I really think that the master plan is just incredibly, it's just incredible. Let's just put it that way. It's magnificent because God the Father says, I love you all so much that I know you're not getting this about how much I love you. So I'm sending my son to this earth and allowing him to teach you certain things. I want you both to look back with me at Isaiah 11 again here, where it says that, and this is the prophecy about Jesus, that this life-giving Spirit of God, that the Spirit of God would be over him, which is Jesus, and that he would walk in wisdom and understanding, that the Spirit would give him direction, build strength, and teach us these things. And knowledge, fear of God, and all of this, these are the things that Jesus brings to us. These are the gifts. We so often get hung up on gifts at Christmas. These are the gifts that God the Father said, I'm going to give you some gifts right now at this point in time, and I'm going to do it in the form of my son. I'm sending him to this earth, and he's going to walk in wisdom. He's going to teach you how to do that. He's going to walk in understanding. He's going to teach you how to do that. He's going to give direction. He's going to teach you how to walk in direction and strength and knowledge. And you're going to have a reverential fear of God. I mean, wow. And he prophesied this 800 years before it happened. I mean, this just to me is just a faith builder for me. Connie, what does that do for you when you look at those aspects of Jesus' life that God the Father put within him so that he could minister to us?
Well, you know, the way he taught, he was such a phenomenal teacher.
Amen. Yes.
And, you know, I hope that every day I'm a student learning.
Amen.
And that I learn something from him.
Yes.
Every day.
Yes.
And, you know, or you know, when you do something wrong, I used to just let it go, and now, you know, when somebody cuts me off and I yell at them, I just kind of say, okay, I'm sorry, God.
Yeah. In other words, God's still working on you, Connie? What do you think, Deb? Do you think God's still working on Connie?
I think God's still working on Connie and me.
Amen.
I'm
all
just as guilty of that as
on me, let me tell you.
Well, what you're saying is that the Spirit of Jesus in you is changing you day by day, moment by moment, and it's because God loved us so much. When you were saying that just now, I was thinking of John 3:16, and we all know that verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Isn't that what it's all about? Because we love him and we believe him because God loved us. He sent Jesus this Christmas season. It's all about that. He loves us so much. And that's what I want you guys to comment on here. He loves us so much that he not just sent his son Jesus, but he sent his son Jesus full of certain things, full of wisdom, full of understanding, full of direction, full of peace, strength, all these. He's the Prince of Peace. And all of this ministers to us who Jesus is, whether he's here on this earth now or back up in heaven where he is. These are his attributes, if you know what I'm saying. Deb, do you have a comment on all that? And how does that affect you at this Christmas season?
It kind of goes along with what Connie was saying earlier. While she was talking, I was thinking about you know, the part of the scripture where it says, you know, the spirit that brings wisdom and understanding, mm-hmm. that gives direction and builds strength.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading that and thinking that the best thing that ever happened to me was the little phrase of, what would Jesus do?
Right. It has affected a lot of people, hasn't it, through the years?
And at the same time, you know, I mean, even though I grew up in the church, you know, I came to my understanding of my walk with God, and I answered the call, you know, I'm not that old, but, you know, considering
really?
It my age right now, you know, late in life,
right.
I didn't do this as a teenager.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's been in the last 10 years.
Right.
And I'm thinking, you know, if I had gotten that wisdom and understanding and direction and strength and knowledge 30 years ago,
right,
how would my life be different?
Well,
I also have to look back and think that, you know, everything happens when God wants it to happen.
Yeah.
If I had not been through what I went through and learned the lessons that I've learned, I wouldn't be the person that I am today. And how does that affect me at Christmas? It affects me where the gift giving is concerned.
Right.
Because, I mean, my children, some of my children get it and some of them don't.
Right.
You know, they go out and spend hundreds of dollars on each kid.
Right.
You know, and my grandkids wind up with 400 presents under the tree, and that's all they think about. And they don't understand that, you know, this is to celebrate the birth of Jesus. This is mm-hmm. Jesus' birthday.
Exactly.
They don't understand why we give gifts.
A lot of people don't. Yeah.
And I get frustrated, you know, and I'm sitting here at home, you know, hand making things for my grandchildren.
Right.
Knowing that when they open them, it's going to be, oh.
Yeah.
Because it's not some $30, $40, $50 toy.
Right. Sure. Exactly.
Which tells me that I need to take that time to try and instill knowledge in them.
Amen.
Pass that knowledge that I have on where my children aren't doing it.
Right. Exactly. And where you can say, look, it's not about that, you know. And I think at this Christmas season, it really is important that we remember the huge gift that God gave us in the person of his son and how he came and brought these things to us that we're reading here in Isaiah 11. Did you have a comment on that, Connie, before we talk even more on that?
No, I think Deb covered it.
Okay. And I love that he goes down, he says, he won't judge by appearances. Don't you love that about God? He's not about, you know, how cute you are or how tall you are or how smart you are. It's not about appearances. And it goes on to say he won't decide on the basis of hearsay. He'll judge the needy by what is right, render decisions on earth's poor with justice. I like the next line in the Message Bible. His words will bring everyone to awed attention. Now, this show and the ministry at Beacon of Hope is all about the Word of God. And it is the Word of God that brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. That's our slogan. But it's the Word of God that causes us to pay attention. I mean, knowing that God prophesied 700 or 800 years before he sent Jesus that he was going to do it. And then, of course, he did it, just like he said. He fulfilled his promise. And then later he goes, oh, yeah, by the way, I sent you my son. So he was told, said, I'm going to do it. Then he did it. And then he said, oh, yeah, and I sent you my son, and here's why. So we celebrate the birth of Jesus knowing that God had this plan all along. And it's all about our righteousness. So let's look at the last line there, verse 5. Each morning, I like this, he'll pull on sturdy work clothes and boots. Do you think God really does put on sturdy work clothes and boots? But the point here is he goes to work in each of us. And what does the scripture say in Lamentations? Morning by morning, new mercies I see. You know, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. And it says here at the end of verse 5 of Isaiah 11, he builds righteousness and faithfulness into us. Now, I want comments on each of you, from each of you on that. Righteousness means right standing with God. He builds that into us. And faithfulness. Who wants to go first? Just speak right up there, Connie or Deb.
Okay, I know you're not going to go first, Connie, so I will.
All right. That's pretty astute of you, Deb. That's good.
Well, you know, you talk about build righteousness and yeah. faithfulness. To yeah. me, the builds righteousness in me is what I have in me now that I am walking that walk.
Right.
That makes me stop and think, should I really be doing this?
There you go. Mm-hmm. Back to that wisdom, you know, back to that knowledge he puts within us, an understanding. Yeah, go ahead.
And the faithfulness is trusting, not just trusting, but believing in my heart
mm-hmm.
that God's going to take care of me.
Amen.
And my family.
Right.
And like it says above, you know, judge the needy by what is right.
Exactly.
And render decisions with justice,
with
you know?
Justice, yes.
I mean, there's a big difference between what you want and what you need.
Right, exactly. And God sees all of that, doesn't he?
Yeah, and God's going to make sure that my needs are fulfilled.
Right, exactly. That's good. Connie, do you have a comment on all that?
No.
Doesn't she crack you up, Deb?
When nice she sits to know there, some things don't change.
Yeah, right, yeah. When she's sitting there going, well, no, not really. Okay. The righteousness really talks about right standing with God, okay? And, you know, that knowing that you're okay with God, he loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That he loves you so much, he sent his Son to this earth. And so in this passage, we see that he planned all this. Let's go back over to Jeremiah. Turn right in your Bible for just a minute before we do another song. In Jeremiah 23, it reminds us, this was this prophecy we read a little while ago, that God would send Jesus to this earth. And I love verse 6 of Jeremiah 23 because, of course, he's talking about the shepherd leader. And we played that song, Shepherd Boy, and it's talking about David being the shepherd boy. But Jesus was also the shepherd. And he said in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. In other words, what does a shepherd do? He goes out and brings in the sheep. Okay, he goes out and he hauls them in and he reminds them of who they belong to and where they are. That's what a shepherd does. And so he says here at the end of verse 6 of Jeremiah 23, he's the God who puts everything right, the Lord, our righteousness. And I don't know about you, but at this Christmas season, I don't know if there can be a much bigger blessing than to know that Jesus is my righteousness. That he died on the cross for my sin. You mentioned the resurrection, Deb. You mentioned the cross and what Jesus did. And so this prophecy just hits home and says the Father is going to send the Son to this earth and he's going to become our righteousness because we don't have any righteousness within ourselves. Now, Connie, do you have a comment on that righteousness? Let's see, Deb, if she does.
I'm not so sure that I have a comment about righteousness. I keep coming back to... Since Deb brought up the cross,
yeah,
I keep coming back to how God prepared those people who came to visit Jesus in the stable.
Right.
And how they brought the frankincense and myrrh.
Right.
And myrrh being the body prepared
right.
for burial.
Right.
And how, once again, he knows the beginning. He knows everything.
Right, exactly. Can you speak up just a little bit, Connie? We're having a hard time getting your signal. Okay.
So how he knows from the beginning to the end.
Exactly.
And he uses such fantastic symbols as he's teaching, just as Jesus did when he used to teach in the parables.
Right.
And knowing, like you always talk about the layers of truth
mm-hmm.
and how... Everything, when you read about those wise men bringing those gifts to Jesus, but really to look into what they meant.
Right.
The royalty, death, you know, all that. It's just awesome.
Isn't it?
Awesome.
and And, you know, the wise men were directed, of course, by God and came with those gifts. And yeah, it is just all of this, this whole thing. At Christmas, I think we tend to get so caught up in the gift giving, like we've mentioned a few minutes ago, and we forget the incredible details of the story, that it was prophesied 800 years before it ever happened, that this was all going to happen, all of this, and God becoming our righteousness, and that was one of his names, and that's why Jesus came to this earth. Deb, how does all that grab you before we do this next song? Talk about what Connie was just saying here.
I think I'm speechless.
Okay. It's both of you today.
Well,
we're in trouble.
Yeah, no, that's all right. You guys are great.
What's in my head right now is that, you know, God did all this for us.
Right.
But this phrase is in my head. It's all free.
It's all, oh, that's good. Amen. That's great. Because everything seems to have to be, have a price tag at Christmas, right? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead with
and
that.
I just got this phrase in my head. Wow, it's all free.
Amen. That's good. It is all free. Why is it free? Why is there no debit card associated with saving you from your sins? You know, well, that'll be $35.15, you know, for your salvation. You know, I mean, why? Why is it all free?
Well, because I can't answer that. It's just because God, it's been there for us from the beginning.
I think the answer is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I think that's the answer, really.
But you know, I mean, you're right, but I'm thinking it's been there from the beginning.
Right, from forever.
It's forever. It's mm-hmm. been there from the time that, you know, God made Adam.
Right.
He gave all this stuff to Adam.
Yes.
And then Adam and Eve, and then he had to take some of it back.
Right.
Because I think in a way, we weren't ready for it yet.
And the disobedience and the doing their own thing and the rebellion, which so many people struggle with. Right.
Right. And you know, I kind of look at it as, you know, he loved us so much that he sent his only son. I think in a way where we weren't ready for everything with Adam and Eve.
Right.
And we had to learn some understanding and we had to grow and mature.
Right.
That when God sent Jesus to us, we were ready for that second dose.
Yeah.
That second lesson. We were ready to take it to a new level.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yes, the world was ready for a savior. Yes,
but it,
absolutely.
But it was all free.
It is. It's free, Deb. It's free.
Sure it's free.
Yeah, I think it's free, Connie. If there's anybody out there today, right now, that doesn't realize the depth of this point that we are trying to make here, you know, we so often struggle in life trying to earn our right standing with God. Would you both agree with that?
Yes.
Well, you know, we just like work at it. Oh, I got to do this. I got to do that. And we make it into a chore. And we get down on our relationship with God because we don't understand and appreciate the fact that it is all free and that God loves us so much. Let's listen to this song and then I'll talk to you both after in a minute. How Many Kings by the group Down Here.
Follow the star to a place unexpected. You believe after all we've projected a child in a manger, lowly and small, the weakest of all, unlikeliest hero, wrapped in his mother's shawl, just a child. Is this who we've waited for? 'Cause how many kings stepped down from there? Torn
Praise God. Wow. Devin Connie, can you believe how God changed the direction of this show and how that song just fits perfectly into what we were just saying? Amazing how it always happens. Amazing.
Well, you know, I've been thinking for a little while on the show about the fact that God gave up his one and only son.
Yes.
And I have several children, but I have one son.
Right. Yes.
And, you know, that's a real hard pill to swallow.
Yeah. Isn't that great?
You know?
He just kept saying, all for you, all for me. God did this all for you, all for me. Which is what we've been talking about through this whole show right now. The incredible gift. Connie, can you believe how that all fit together?
Yes.
I do. I mean, it wasn't the direction. You both know that. It wasn't the direction exactly I was going to go with. And yet, that is it. And God wants somebody out there to understand that he loves you so very much that he sent his son. If you were the only person on this earth, he would have sent his son for you. He would have sent his son to be born in a manger, humbly, the baby, all for you, all for me. That's what that song was saying. How many kings would have done that, would have sent their son? Oh, my. Talk to me a minute, both of you, about the personal savior that Jesus is to you. Deb, I'm going to ask you to go first. This person, let's get it personal here. Just how profound is Jesus to you at this Christmas season?
Jesus to me is no matter what I do, no matter what I say, no matter where I go, I know that Jesus is going to be there by my side.
Amen.
And love me no
Amen.
Matter what.
Woo.
You know, you have to look at it you have to look at the unconditional love.
Yes.
And you have to really, do
yes.
people really know what unconditional love is?
Right.
No.
I think it's when you.
Thank you, Connie.
No, they don't.
You
know, people
they don't.
Say,
I mean, look at it know. This way. If you're in a relationship and your partner, your spouse cheats on you.
Right.
You may forgive them once. Most people wouldn't. Okay. But let's just say. You may forgive them once.
Right.
And then, you know, they do it again.
Right.
And they do it again. How many times are you going to allow that person to slap you in the face and stand there and take it?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yet every single day, even those of us that walk with Jesus, that have Jesus in our lives – we make mistakes every
Amen.
Single day.
Amen. Yes, we do.
You know, we say things that hurt people.
Right.
And if we say things that hurt people, that hurts God. That
exactly.
hurts Jesus.
Exactly.
If we do things that hurt people, that hurts Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Does Jesus walk away? Never.
Never. That's
and,
unconditional
you know,
love.
Alice reminded me just a minute ago that, and this goes back to what you were talking about in the beginning, God knows... has it all planned out. It's
right.
all mapped out. God knows from the day I'm born
right.
exactly what I'm going to do and how I'm going to do it and
mm-hmm.
when I'm going to.
Yet he gives us a free will to do it, but yet he knows what our decisions are going to be.
He knows
That's a little weird.
Times,
yeah.
He knows how many times we're going to turn our back on him.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Before we get it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Does he leave us? No.
Never.
He waits patiently.
Yes. Yes.
That's what Jesus means to me in this
mm-hmm.
season.
Amen. Thank you, Deb. That was great. Connie, you wanted to comment there. Talk to us.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us.
She said what I was going to say.
She does that, doesn't
About
she?
About the unconditional love. And
yes.
You know, no matter how many times a human being tells you that they love you unconditionally, there's always conditions to
Right.
it. Always.
There are. Yeah.
Somewhere or another, there's a condition.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
And this the gift of Jesus to this earth, I'm reminded of Isaiah 9. Let's go there a minute because I love this prophecy. We talked about it a little bit last Sunday on Living the Good Life. Isaiah 9, 6, and 7 are some of the most important prophecies in the whole Bible. And this will sound familiar to most of you. There's been songs written about these two verses. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us. Who is that? That's Jesus. This was prophesied 700 or 800 years before Jesus came to this earth. And the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called. And I've been doing this series right now on these four names and attributes of God. Wonderful Counselor. We talked about that Wednesday night at Bible study at Beacon of Hope. Mighty God, that's next Sunday. Eternal Father was today. Eternal Father. And Prince of Peace was last Sunday morning. And these, there will be no end to the increase of his government or of his peace. And this goes on to talk about Jesus being the Prince of Peace and the Prince of Wholeness, and that that's what he wants to do. He wants to bring peace in our lives. He wants to give us direction. And for those of you out there in the listening audience that are going, you know, you guys make it sound like you really enjoy this relationship with God, that it's valuable to you. And I want to ask you both that, because I mean, my relationship with God has become, maybe it wasn't always, but through the years of my life, it has become the most important relationship that I have. And all other relationships pale in comparison to the relationship of God with us, dwelling within me, walking and talking with me, being with me every day, forgiving me, loving me regardless, teaching me, being my wisdom, my understanding, all those things that we've been talking about. Whoa, Connie, what do you think about all that?
I think that it's, if you don't have a relationship with God, it's very difficult to have a relationship with anybody else.
Oh, that's profound.
You know, I think psychologists would tell you that every relationship in your life is somehow based on the relationship you actually had with your mother.
Yeah, right.
But I think that, you know, yes, mothers are nurturers and are supposed to be nurturers. But I think that God kind of extends the dimensions,
yes,
of that whole motherhood type.
Oh, he does, yes.
And we end up in deeper levels of relationship, I think, with people,
yeah,
than we probably never would have been, and in a deeper relationship with him.
When we understand the relationship of God with us, don't you think? God with us, which is Emmanuel, which we're going to talk more about in this next hour. Deb, do you have a comment to all that?
My relationship with God defines who I am.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Connie loves to use the hole in the heart.
Yeah.
Deal.
You might explain that, or Connie can explain that. One of you needs to explain that. Some of you are going, what's that mean?
Well, you know, when I say that my relationship with God defines me, you know, my next thought was, until I answered that call, until I figured it out, I felt like I was walking around lost. I was
right.
Missing something.
Right.
And I didn't know what it was.
Right.
And then when I found what it was that relationship with God, that hole in my heart, that sense of walking around lost.
Yes.
Seemed to disappear.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I agree with Connie. If you can't have a relationship with someone if you can't have a relationship with God.
Right.
Because having that relationship with God teaches you the definition of unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds me every day that not to judge by what you see, to find out who the person is on the inside.
Amen. Amen.
So, I mean, it defines who I am.
Exactly. So this relationship with God at this Christmas season is vitally important to us, is it not? And yes. for those that are listening that are not even sure of that relationship, we're going to talk more about it in this next hour today on Living the Good Life and why it's so important that you understand that God loved you so much that he sent his son Jesus to this earth exactly in the place in time and history when he needed to do that. He looked down through, he's our eternal father, he looked down through time and he said, you know, I think that this would be the perfect time when I can birth my son in a manger to show humility, not a children's ward in a hospital. When I can have my son go to a cross, because most times in history, people were not nailed to crosses. This was not a common thing. Clear, you know, let's say 100 years ago, that's not happening. So he looked down at the perfect time in history where he could birth his son in a manger and allow him to die on a cross. All of the things he set up perfectly to fulfill his word and the prophecies he spoke. We're going to talk more about that in the next hour. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
Amen. And welcome, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas, and those stations that get this show live on Sunday afternoons. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. Today joining me are Connie and Deb, part of our radio team. Deb is in Texas. Connie is in Tampa. I'm in Clearwater. And what, these are all the great things about technology, don't you think, Engineer Bill? It's pretty cool. Where are you, Engineer Bill?
I'm right here in the studio.
Oh, yes.
Awaiting to hear new information on your new book, My Little Girl.
Oh. You know what? Oh, you're close. You're close.
Oh, sorry. My little. What is it again?
Letters to Lori, Little Girl Lost.
Letters to Lori, Little Girl Lost.
Yes. And I was going to talk about that, so he didn't even know that. So, you know, yes, I am excited about the new book. It's my third book. It is a blessing. It is a result of my daughter, who has struggled with drug addiction for 20 years, being sentenced to prison back in April of this year, 2010. She is 34 years old. She is now in a minimum security prison in Indiana. She's actually in a drug rehab unit in that prison. And she is just getting stronger and stronger day by day. And Connie, that was pretty cool this morning, wasn't it, that I was telling you about the letters I'm starting to get from the inmates. What do you think about that?
I think that you've only just begun to see the impact this book's going to have.
Yes. Yes. I agree. I mean, when I want to go ahead. Go ahead. Comment on that.
It's just going to be something else. There are going to be people saved. There's going to be people learning more and more about addictions, and lives are going to be healed, families are going to be healed, all that.
Absolutely. And, you know, it just poured out of me. I started it just exactly the title of the book, Letters to Lori. I was writing letters to my daughter. She was sentenced on April 28th of this year, and I think the first letter went to her on May 2nd, and it just continued. And for day after day, I was writing these letters to her, and then I started mailing them, but I didn't mail them all at once. I mailed them like a couple weeks in between each one and allowed God to do the work in her that needed to be done. The Holy Spirit just reminded me of stories in her life and things that needed to be dealt with, and those are in the book along with God's answer. Already it's been out 2 weeks. It hit Amazon 2 weeks ago, yesterday, I think it was, and a couple weeks anyway, and we are getting good response. And, the letter I got Thursday, Connie, it was incredible from one of the inmates there, because we've already sent, many copies of the book to the prison where Lori is, and they've asked for more. And one of these inmates wrote me, and it was a 5-page letter, and I sat and I cried through the entire letter. I tried to read it to Carol Maxine up in Georgia, Connie, and all I did was cry. I was like a blubbering idiot all the way through this letter about what God was doing in this lady as a result, too. So it's getting out there, and we thank God for the new opportunities for this ministry in the area of the prison ministry that God is opening up. So it's just, it's a blessing. You can get this book from us on beaconofhopeministries.com, and we will actually pay the postage for you, or you can also order it from Amazon. Again, the title of it is Letters to Lori, Little Girl Lost. And we encourage you to pick up a copy, and especially if you know somebody, and who doesn't these days know somebody who is either drug addicted or has a drug addicted child in their family or a friend and all of that. And that is why this word has got to get out, that God does have an answer. There is hope. There is peace. And you can be free from this addiction. Mm-hmm. So. Deb, you got your copies, I hear. So
I did.
Yeah, and you know, as you begin to read it, and as some of our audience begin to read it, you're going to find the answers right there. And because God inspired this, this is all from Him. I mean, I was just the vessel that typed the keys on the computer. You know, it's from God, and it's part of that wisdom that He gives us, an understanding. And addicts have a lot of issues and a lot of things to overcome. But this book is a book of hope that God will answer those questions and will help you through them. So you can go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and pick up a copy of that book. You can also go to my new website that's been set up, marciamcallister.com, and you can see the other books that I've written and order any of those. We're excited about what God is doing through the global ministry at Beacon of Hope. And I said this morning at Beacon, I never would have thought a year ago that a prison ministry was being birthed from what we were doing. Connie, do you have a comment on any of that? Because that still blows me away. You know, it really does.
Well, we never thought Lori was going to be in prison either.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
You know, every time she went before that judge, there was either continuance or something. It was never... You know, she never, even though we didn't want her there in prison.
Right.
We kept asking God to do what He needed to do with her, whatever
exactly.
It may be.
Yeah.
And then He decided that she needed to be there. And look at the ministry that she has. Once she came, you know, once she got over her anger and stuff at the things that were being addressed.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, because addicts don't like to hear that they're liars or,
right.
You know, whatever. They have behaviors that they can't control because they just need that fix.
Right. Exactly.
And so, you know, they don't want to hear, especially when they start getting clean and are sober and can hear it. They don't want to hear what they've done.
Well, and a couple of these chapters, I got to tell you, chapter 8, she called me a few days after she read that, because now she can call limited access. But she called me and said, wow, I didn't like that chapter when I first read it. She wasn't real happy with it. But, you know, the thing that you're saying, Connie, is God is using Lori to minister now to so many women in that prison. And the doors are opening. And we just found out yesterday that doors are going to open for more ministry as soon as she gets out, which is in about another year or so.
Well, we knew she was called.
Oh, absolutely.
We just didn't know where she was going to be called to. You know, most people think they're going to be called to Africa.
Right, exactly.
You know, so she got called to a prison in Indiana.
A prison in Indiana, and that's where she is. And back in November, when Pastor Michelle and Catherine hosted the show, and I was in Indiana that weekend, I was allowed to see her for the first time in a year and a half. And it was a four-hour visit, Deb, and it was incredible to get to hug her and hold her and talk to her. And her son went with me, Levi, my grandson. He's 10, and his daddy, Wayne. And we just had a wonderful time together with Lori, and they've actually gone back and seen her again. So, you know, God is doing some really wonderful things, and we're excited about that. One quick thing. Sunday mornings at Beacon of Hope starts at 11. And preaching the word, worship, it's a great service. Wednesday nights at 7. Deb, do you remember what happens on Wednesday nights at Beacon of Hope? I know it's been a while since you've been there, and you're in trouble for living in Houston right now and not being able to make all the services. But, you know, you just occasionally get there. But, you know, our format on Wednesday nights is still the same. So can you tell people what that is for us before we go to this next song?
It's an awesome Bible study. Memory serves me correct that from around 6:30 or so, we have a little prayer meeting. And then from 7 to 8-ish, we have Bible study. And I like it, and it's unusual because, you know, you're sitting at a table with your Bible open.
And your dinner, pizza, usually, right?
And yeah, we always brought Taco Bell.
Right.
Spaghetti.
Spaghetti,
yeah. That, Connie.
Yeah.
And it's not just Pastor or Michelle or Pastor Jim standing up there, you know, spouting out verses and telling us how it is. It's very interactive.
Yes,
and,
yes.
You know, somebody can be talking. Whoever's leading the Bible study can be talking about a specific verse, and somebody go, "Whoa, stop! I don't agree with that."
Yeah,
you know, or explain this to me some more.
Explain it, yeah.
And you know, it's just like the radio show. You may have an idea of how you want it to go, but God gets in there and sends it where it needs to go.
Case in point today, right?
So, yeah.
So people are welcome. Thank you for that explanation. Wednesday nights at 7. And yes, prayer meeting starts around 6:15-ish. And anybody is welcome. We are in our new location, 3700 Almerton Road in Clearwater. And right behind Five Guys, just grab a hamburger and come on in for Bible study Wednesday nights at 7. Great song by the group For Him, A Strange Way to Save the World.
I'm sure he must have been surprised where this road had taken him. 'Cause never in a million lives would he have dreamed of Bethlehem. And standing at the manger, he saw with his own eyes the message from the angel come alive. And Joseph said, "Why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him with all the rulers in the world? Why here inside this stable filled with hay? Why her? She's just an ordinary girl. Such a strange way to save the world. To think of how it could have been if Jesus had come as he deserved. There would have been no Bethlehem, no lowly shepherds at his birth. But Joseph knew the reason love had to reach so far. And as he held the Savior in his arms, he must have thought, "Why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him with all the rulers in the world? Why here inside this stable filled with hay? Why her? She's just an ordinary girl. And now I'm not a one to second guess what angels have. It's such a strange way to say the word. Oh, 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 oh. Now I'm not a one to second.
praise God. This is such a strange way to save the world. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Let's all go to Matthew chapter 1, and let's talk about this strange way to save the world. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. The birth of Jesus took place like this. His mother Mary, and you've all heard her name, have you not? She was prophesied to be in the line of David, and she was. She came through David's son Nathan. And Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. Joseph was also in the line of David. And that was another prophecy in the Old Testament that the father would be through the line of David also. And he came through the line of Solomon, another one of David's sons. So both Mary and Joseph were from the line of David. So it says here that the birth of Jesus took place like this. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. Before they came to the marriage bed, Joseph discovered that she was pregnant. It was by the Holy Spirit, but he didn't know that. In other words, there was a secret here, and Joseph didn't know what that secret was. Joseph was, in the Message Bible, it says chagrined. I think embarrassed. Do one of you have the NIV in front of you, Deb, or
I have the New King James.
Okay, what does it say there? Would you read 18 and 19 and from Matthew 1? Let's hear it in the New King James.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Then Joseph, her husband, being just a man,
mm-hmm,
and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly.
Yeah. Okay. He didn't want to disgrace her. In the Message Bible, it says that Joseph was chagrined but noble. I kind of like that, you know? He mm-hmm wanted to do the right thing, but he was a little bit embarrassed about, my girlfriend, who is, by the way, only 13 to 15 years old, Mary was at this time. She was young. He was determined to kind of just like hide her away, send her away to a relative or something like this. And verse 20, while he was trying, this is Joseph, to figure out a way, he had a dream. Now, I find that very interesting. Again, the Holy Spirit has brought this radio show together, as he always does, because that song we just did talks about Joseph and the dream, and had no idea that those were the words of that song that was coming up, Connie, that you had here at this right point. Joseph, son of David, this is what the angel said, don't hesitate to get married. Mary's pregnancy is spirit conceived. God's Holy Spirit has made her pregnant. She will bring a son to birth. And when she does, you, Joseph, will name him Jesus. God saves, because he will save his people from their sins. And we'll go on with that in a minute. But Deb, can you read that much that I just read in your New King James, starting with verse 20?
But while he was, hang on a second.
About verse 20.
But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream,
mm-hmm,
saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.
You know, I think it's fascinating, just fascinating here, that Joseph is put in a position where he has to believe God. He has to step out on that limb of faith. The song we just did said that's a strange way to save the world. And don't you think maybe that Joseph thought, boy, that is a strange thing. What do you mean? My girlfriend is pregnant, but not by me, but by the Holy Spirit. I don't get it. It's never been done before. I love the fact that God looked down through time and he said, all right, I'm picking the one who's got a heart after me. He may be a little upset and surprised at first that his girlfriend's pregnant, but he's got the right heart. Connie, do you want to comment on that about Joseph?
Well, it's funny that that song came up because on the way home from church this afternoon, I was trying to think of the name of that song, and I kept trying to sing parts of the,
this
the
song?
Verses. And
yeah.
On the radio came Mary's Song.
Oh.
The one that Amy Grant did.
Yes, uh-huh, right.
And I said, no, God, I want to know Joseph's Song.
Joseph's Song. This is Joseph's Song, really, that we just played.
Yes.
A Strange Way to Save the World. Yes. I'm just a carpenter. You know, what's this all about? You know, Joseph saying.
Right.
Isn't that fascinating how God does this, you know? And he always does. Some of our listening audience may think we plan all this, but we don't. We just wait on God for the right songs, and then all the teaching and the dialogue just fits in. God does that. I mean, this is his Holy Spirit, which is amazing. So here we have Joseph being willing. Deb, talk to me about Joseph and his attitude and his example to us. Can you do that?
Well, I was sitting here thinking, was it common? I'm trying to rationalize all this in my head. Was it common at that time for someone to have this dream to tell them that God has done this and for them to just blindly believe?
No, it wasn't
I don't think it was common.
No.
Just like it's not common now.
Right, exactly.
You know, you can look at... The Bible really doesn't go into a lot of this, a lot of the abuse that Joseph had to have taken from this.
He had to, don't you think?
Yeah, and I mean, you look at some of the Hollywood movies that have been produced and that go into what they think Joseph may have gone through.
Right.
You know, the ridicule and the abuse, people telling him, yeah, you're just making this up. You don't want us to know that, you know, you did this with your girlfriend. And
right.
And so his blind acceptance and trust.
Yes.
You know, you said that God, when God chose Mary, he chose Mary because she had a heart after him.
Amen.
He chose Joseph because Joseph had a heart after him.
Absolutely.
I can't even fathom, as much as I would like to tell myself that I believe in God and I have faith in God. You know, I've got to be honest. If I have this dream, or I'm out in the field somewhere and some entity comes to me and says, you know, you're going to become pregnant by the Holy Spirit.
That had to be wild, right?
I'm going to go, yeah.
I know. But see, you said the right thing there, Deb. God looked down through history. He had to fulfill. God always fulfills what he promises. So he had to fulfill his promises, his prophecies that said that the Messiah would come through the line of David on both sides. He had to fulfill that. So he limited himself to finding a man and a woman who would be born at the right time and be ready for marriage and all of that. And he had to look at their hearts and say, they will trust me. They will believe me. They will be people of faith. And I love that about God, that even we said it earlier in the show, God sees our hearts. He knows us. And some of you out there in radio land today, God knows what you're made of. Maybe you're going through some hard times, and maybe you have had times where you're doubting and you're worried and you're going, I don't know about this relationship with God. God sees your heart. And that's what he did with Joseph and with Mary. Connie, did you have a comment there on Joseph anymore? Because you said he's been on your heart today.
Well, I keep thinking about, you know, yes, God saw their hearts, but there are so many people that have that same heart for God.
Right.
Nowadays, as well as back, I mean, when you think of Doubting Thomas,
right?
You know,
yeah,
he didn't want to believe until he saw it. And Jesus said, blessed are those who believe without seeing.
Right.
You know, and I think there's so many people who just have that blind faith, who know and who trust.
Exactly.
That he's going to take care of them.
Exactly.
And that he's going to, you know, he is going to do the right thing. And so, you know, it's like Deb said, it takes two special people, Mary and Joseph, how special. I mean, can you even imagine being around them to know how special they were even before all this happened?
Oh, absolutely. Hearts after God.
What kind of people they were, you know, to be around.
I totally, go ahead.
Well, you know, we should be so lucky to have those kind of people in our lives now.
Exactly.
With that same kind of desire and that same kind of drive for God.
Amen.
And trust.
Absolutely. And if you're one of those out there in our audience today that's discouraged and down and you feel like, wow, you know, God used Mary and Joseph, but he can't use me because of my limitations or whatever. Interestingly enough, I got a phone call on our church phone, which I usually don't even announce the phone number on, but it is 813-417-3377 if you want to call and leave a message, and then I'll call you back as soon as I can. But I did not know this message was on there, and it came from a dear little soul in Dunedin by the name of Rosemary. And Rosemary, or Rosemarie, I believe, if you are listening today, you said that the song "He Raised Me Up" has blessed you so much when we played that. That I've been playing in my car all week long as I've driven. And I want to play that right now, and I was planning on it even before I got your message, Rosemarie, because God wants to raise you up, dear one, just like he did Joseph from this humiliating situation, Mary from her doubts and her worries and all of that, if she had any, all of this, God wants to raise us up to a new place. And then Deb and Connie will talk more on the other side.
When I am down, and oh, my soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burden be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me to more than I can be.
Stand on mountains.
to more than I can be.
Praise God. You raise me up to more than I can be. And that's what happened to Joseph and Mary. And that's why they could follow God's direction, because the God in them, the God they knew, showed them what was about to happen, and they chose to get on board with the plan of God. Deb, what does that do to you?
After I wipe away the tears?
Yes, after you wipe away the tears. Go ahead, let them flow, because that's what it does to me. I tell you, I mean, just picture Joseph and Mary both with this visitation. They both had an angel visitation, you know?
It's an awesome thought.
Yes.
That they were blessed that way.
Yes.
I mean, you're right. God did lift them both up, and God showed them by carrying them.
We're having some problems there, Bill, I think on the Skype. Okay, go ahead. We're going to have to reset it. Deb, we'll come back to you in just a second. Connie, are you there? Nope. Have we lost her? Connie's there? Okay, Connie, where are you?
I just crossed over and looked like the Aleutian Islands or the bridge, because the waves looked like I was on a boat on the Deadliest Catch.
It's that bad and stormy out there.
And the wind was whipping me back and forth, and you guys were fading in and out. But
I know. We lost Deb somehow. We'll get her back here in a minute. But
you know what I was thinking about that song was?
Yeah.
How God raises us all up. He and only He can make us rise to the challenge, whatever it is.
Amen.
I was thinking of David, you know, when the song, Shepherd Boy.
Yes.
When God, you know, we saw a shepherd boy. God saw a king.
God saw a king. Amen. And He saw the line of Jesus.
Our heart.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And so, you know, I was thinking of David, and then I thought, well, you know, Moses.
Right.
The stutterer.
Yes.
You know, everything, when, you know, no matter what, as long as you have God's help, He raises us up to be all that we can be.
Amen.
All we want to be.
Right.
And we hold back on what we want because we don't think that we deserve it or that it's not for us.
Right. Exactly.
You know, when He wants us to have everything that He has for us.
Amen. Amen. Just like Joseph and Mary. You know,
that
He had the plan, the eternal plan included those two young people, and that they would be forever known about through all eternity as the ones who said, yes, Lord, you can use me in this situation, you know?
But they didn't do it for the publicity. They did it because of their hearts.
They did it because their hearts, you know, and God is still, the word says in 2 Chronicles, I love this verse, in 2 Chronicles 16:9, that the Spirit of God looks around the world searching for those whose hearts are completely His. And that's what we find in the story of Mary and Joseph. And for our listening audience, this is what God is saying. He will raise you up to a place of strength in Him. He will give you, we talked about it in Isaiah chapter 11 in the first hour of the show. Jesus came to give you wisdom and understanding. He came to give you knowledge. He came to give you peace. He came to give you direction in your life. God sent His Son to this earth to give you all that so that you could be raised up to be more than you could be. That's the message, don't you think, Connie? And how cool that song just fits in perfectly there. And that's the song that this dear lady in Dunedin said was just blessing her so much every time we played it. But I had been playing it all week long, you know, as I drove before I even got her message, you know? So look, that's how the Holy Spirit pulls things together. So what we're saying is the obedience that God needs from us. Deb, are you back with us on Skype?
I am here.
Okay, we had a little problem there. I don't know if the problem was Connie's waves on the bridge or what it was. I don't know. Deb, did you hear all that? I don't know how much you heard, but you know what we were talking about there with that song.
I never lost you guys.
Oh, okay. So. We just lost you. Okay. All right. But go ahead and tell me how that affects you, that you raise me up, and how that fits here with Mary and Joseph.
Well, I mean, I agree with what you said. I mean, the song, exactly as it says, you know, God lifted them up.
Yes.
And you know, even though they had a heart for Jesus, for God, and they answered,
yes,
you know, the call that God gave them, they had to have doubts.
Right. They were human.
And God stood beside them and lifted them up and carried them through this.
Yes.
You know, and that right there is just a testament to what God can do and will do. And for the lady that you know, doesn't feel worthy, you know, look at who, like Connie was saying, look at who God called.
Right.
You know, Abraham, Moses, you know, I mean, look at the people that God called to do the things that God did. And going back to, you know, what you were saying earlier about the timing.
Yes.
Of Jesus's birth,
right,
and then going back to, you know, the song. How many kings,
right,
you know, have given up their thrones? You
right.
know, how many fathers, you know, would give up their son for me?
Right.
You look at all of that, and you put all of that. The whole time I'm thinking about the timing, and you know, how many kings would give up their throne?
Exactly.
You know, and then in the song, in Joseph's song, talking about where Joseph said, you know, he came in as a lowly, you know, son of mine in a manger.
Right.
Instead of coming in the way that he should have
right.
as a king.
Right.
If God would have sent Jesus down in the way that Jesus should have come at this time.
Right.
Think of the wars that would have ensued.
Oh, yeah. No. It couldn't have happened. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because how many kings are going to give up their throne?
Right.
At that time, none.
Right.
And even when Jesus comes again.
Yes.
There are going to be kings or rulers or presidents or whatever that are not going to want to give up their throne.
Amen. Yeah.
But, you know, when Jesus comes the next time, Jesus is coming the way Jesus is supposed to come.
Right. Triumphantly, you know, in the sky.
Right.
Yes. Amen.
So it goes back to what I was saying earlier about how God just times everything so perfectly.
Yes. Yes. And how much he loves us and has a plan for our lives. You know, I see that here in the story of Mary and Joseph, that yes, he saw their hearts and he said, hey, I can do this in you. All I want is a willing vessel. And I love where Mary says in Luke chapter 1, when the angel says to her, here, this is what's going to happen. We'll talk more about that next Sunday. But Mary's response is not, you got to be kidding me. Are you not me? No, God, no way. Are you not? You can't use me. I'm just this. I'm just a little, you know, 14-year-old or whatever. Instead, Mary responds with one of the coolest statements in the whole Bible. Be it done to me according to your word. In other words, God, what you've decided, what your word is for me, be that what happens. In other words, Mary put herself in agreement with God's will for her. Now, I want to say this real quick before we go to this next song, and that is that this whole concept of what we put ourselves in agreement with is what will change your life. If you put yourself in agreement with defeat, that God can never use you, that you're inadequate, that you're just full of doubts and worries, you don't have enough knowledge, you don't have enough wisdom, you have no strength, you're emotionally weak. If you put yourself in agreement with all of that, that is what's going to happen. It's what's called a self-fulfilling prophecy. In other words, when you agree with the negative that the devil is going to throw at you, because he always will, because Jesus said in John John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I came to give you life and to give it abundantly. So when you put yourself in agreement with the things that the devil wants to steal from you, which is peace, joy, wisdom, all those things that Jesus came to bring you that we read in Isaiah 11. He came to bring you wisdom. He came to bring you knowledge. He came to bring you understanding. He came to bring you peace and wholeness, all of those things. And when you put yourself in agreement with the devil that those can't be you, if Joseph had done that, if Mary had done that, we would not have seen this story unfold the way it did. God would have had to pick somebody else. But praise God, Joseph and Mary both got in line and agreement with God's perfect will for them. Connie, I want your comment on that before we go to the next song.
I just think that, God's so wonderful. That,
amen.
I mean, He knows.
Right.
And why would we ever want to second guess him? But we do.
Because
it's just us.
Right.
Human.
Right. I know.
But, and I think sometimes he just needs to keep slapping me in the face with this stuff because, it just makes you say, wow.
It makes you say, I surrender. Yeah. I wrote in an email to somebody this morning, you got to surrender to win. That's what it's all about. When you say, I surrender all, God, I mean, Mary and Joseph had to surrender to win everything that they did, and so often we fight and fight and fight and try to hang on to our little piece of security, whatever that might be. I mean, in that song, we heard Joseph saying, wait a minute, I'm just a carpenter, I mean, how can you use a carpenter, And yet...
Right.
Yet God says, let go, surrender to me, let me do the work in you that needs to be done. That's the message of this whole radio show today, I believe, is surrendering to God. And like Mary and Joseph, who came before us, saying, okay, God, I may not understand the details, but I'm on board for the ride. Let's go, So.
Well, and it also tells me it's not what you do that makes you who you are.
Right.
And that's a hard thing because most people are known by who they are,
right?
What they do for a living.
Yeah.
Instead of who they are as a person.
Exactly. In other words, it's not about that. What is it about, Connie?
It's about your heart.
It's your heart.
Who's in your heart and what you believe and what you want out of life.
Amen. Amen. Woo. We're going to play this last song here in a minute. And Connie, we're going to say goodbye to you because I know you're getting close to the hospital and you got to work tonight. And you're always a joy and you're just such a blessing to this ministry. And I just want to thank you for being so faithful. That back in Isaiah, he said he comes to teach us righteousness and faithfulness. And you're an example in this ministry of faithfulness. And you've hung in there and you've been there and you've been consistent. Even though you're headed to work, you're on the radio show and all of that. And you were at the soundboard this morning at Beacon of Hope. And I just thank you for your faithfulness and your input. Deb, do you want to say bye to her?
Bye, Connie. See you in February.
And we're going to be... That's
wrong
close.
Song.
No, wrong song. And we're going to be celebrating and hugging some necks. So, Connie, have a good night at work tonight. God bless you.
Yes.
And we'll talk to you soon. And this is a great song by Kathy Mattea. Deb, stay with me, if you will. Mary, did you know?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would someday walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that
What does that do for you, Pastor Deb? I just love
I'm
that.
I'm singing.
Oh, isn't that great? In fact, Bill, I think I want to play it again in a couple minutes. Not quite yet. But Deb, what does that say to you? Let's go back to Matthew chapter 1. And when the angel spoke to Joseph and he said, don't hesitate to marry her because Mary's pregnancy is from God. It's the Holy Spirit has made her pregnant. She will bring a son to birth. And when she does, you, Joseph, will name him Jesus. God saves. That's what his name means. God is salvation because he will save his people from their sins. You hear that in that song. This would bring the prophet's sermon to full term, which is quoted from Isaiah 7:14. And this is Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. It is a quote out of Isaiah 7:14. And this was written 700 or 800 years before it happened. And it says this, watch for this. A virgin will be get pregnant and bear a son. They will name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And in verse 24 of Matthew 1, then Joseph woke up. He did exactly what God's angel commanded in the dream. He married Mary, but he did not consummate the marriage till she had the baby. He named the baby Jesus. Wow.
Amen.
Woo. Talk to me, Deb.
It's just, it's an awesome story. And to a lot of people, that's all it is an awesome story.
Right.
But I know it's true. I feel it in my heart that it's true.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Because I feel God's presence in my life.
Yes.
I can't imagine what an awesome feeling that Mary had to have had to mm-hmm. known how blessed she was to be chosen.
Oh.
And at the same time, how fearful she must have been.
Exactly. But and I love the words of that song. Mary, did you know that this was the Savior? Did you know? And, you know, there's scripture that says that Mary, after the angel appeared to her, she pondered all these things in her heart, you know, because the angel was saying, you're going to give birth to the Son of God. You know, you are going to be the mother of the Son of God. I mean, you talk about profound. And did Mary understand that the blind would see and the lame would walk? I'm sure she couldn't have seen ahead to know all the details that were coming and the suffering of Jesus on the cross. But yet she knew in her heart that God had chosen her for this most spectacular event down through history. The most blessed event.
And, you know,
event.
At the same time, though, I think back to the story of Jesus at the wedding when he turned the water to wine.
Right, yes.
You know, and Mary came to him and said, do this.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, his mother, it's not my time yet.
Right.
But I think that Mary knew
yeah.
that, you know, you may not think it's your time yet, but this is something that you need to do. And I think it's awesome that God the Father gave her this wisdom.
That's true. That's great.
To, you know, because I think in a way, maybe even Jesus was human.
Right.
You know, so he had to have some, I don't even know if this is the right word, some trepidation.
You're right.
About getting, taking that first step.
Taking that first step.
You know?
And it's interesting that she probably is the very one that held his little hands as he took his first earthly step
right.
on this earth. And yet this was his first miracle. So she's the one that held his hand and said, come on, here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go.
And I think it's awesome because you talk about the words of this song and did she know all these things? I'm sure that when the angel told her you're going to be having, you know, God's son,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, you know, she knew the prophecies.
Right.
So she was thinking all this, but did she know this other stuff? No. At the time that the angel came to her, I don't think she did. But I truly believe that God spoke to her and prepared her for the things that Jesus was going to go do and going to go through.
Exactly. And he led her step by step, just like he leads us. One mm-hmm. more time, let's hear these words of this song again, and then Deb, your final thoughts after that.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would someday walk on water? Mary, did you know your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you've kissed your little baby,
the good shepherd. I am the bread of life. Deb, I love that song. It just really speaks to me.
I was listening to it again, of course, singing it again.
Yes.
And the two things that struck me were...
Sorry we couldn't hear your voice because it's great. Go ahead.
When you kiss the little baby, you kiss the face of God.
Yes. I heard that
too. How fantastic was that? And the other thing that really struck me was... the last verse is the great I am.
Amen.
You know, when God spoke to Moses and Moses said, how am I supposed to make them believe?
Yes, exactly.
And God said, I am that I am.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that was like the secret password to them.
Right.
It was scriptural to them that, you know, God is the great I am.
Right. Amen.
And how many hundreds of years before, you know, that Moses used that.
Right.
And then Jesus, it's awesome. You know, I got to tell you, I was laughing too. My daughter and son-in-law and two grandchildren just pulled up out front.
Yes.
And I'm making them stay outside so that they don't disrupt the radio. But this particular granddaughter, my dog loves her.
Yeah.
And my dog is having a fit to go outside.
All right. Okay. All right. I'll let you go with them. You've been great. Thank you for being on the show today, Deb. You're just a blessing every time you are. Our best to Alice, and we will see you soon. You'll be on the show again very soon, but we'll also see you live here in the studio in February for our 200th anniversary show. So that is really cool. Thank you for your input today. Enjoy your grandkids and your family, okay?
We miss you guys. We love
all
you
right.
guys. We'll see you in February.
All
God
right.
bless.
God bless you. So my thanks to Deb and Connie. They're part of our regular radio team that join me on these live shows every Sunday. And we rotate, and they take turns as their schedules permit, and everybody has jobs and are very busy and all of that. But my appreciation to all of our radio team. It's a joy. Yes, that song really got to me because, Mary, what did you know? You know, Mary, what do we see now so many hundreds of years, 2,000 years later? We see, Mary, your willingness and Joseph, your willingness to obey what God put in your heart and to follow the leading of God and go down a path that was probably kind of scary for both of them. But yet they said, yes, Lord, and they did it in obedience. Taking you back to the last couple verses of Matthew chapter 1, where Jesus, the Joseph woke up, he did exactly what God's angel commanded in the dream. He married Mary. He named the baby Jesus. And Jesus could not have been named anything else but Jesus because his name means God, our salvation. And we're going to talk more about that next week. God would not have named his child anything but Jesus, which means God, our salvation, because he is our salvation. If you are not certain of your salvation right this moment, if you are not positive in your heart that if you died tonight, you would be in the arms of Jesus, it is a simple commitment prayer to him where you declare, God, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. And I ask you to forgive me for all the sins that I have ever committed that were not pleasing to you. And I ask you, God, to come and live on the inside of my heart. And when you do that and you pray that prayer and you come into agreement with becoming a child of the living God, God takes you at your word and he moves in. And Emmanuel, which is what it was prophesied that this baby would be called, Emmanuel, you've heard that word for years, means God with us. And so when you make that decision, that quality decision, and you fall into agreement with the fact that Jesus Christ is your Savior and your Lord, your personal Savior, that he lives on the inside of you and wants to change you and become a part of your every moment and teach you and be your wisdom and your joy and your understanding and your peace and all of those things that we've been talking about today. When you make that quality decision, God does not sit there and go, I don't know. I don't know if you're righteous enough. I don't know if you're perfect enough. No, God takes you right where you are, just like he did Mary and Joseph. Even though they had maybe doubts and worries and whatever about what was coming up, yet God took them right where they were because he saw their heart. And God does the same with you, my friend. Wherever you are in your life right now, God's got a plan for your life. Jeremiah 29, 11 to 14 says, God knows the plans he has for you, plans to bless you, prosper you, and give you a future and a hope. And that is God's desire for you. And God loves you so very much. Never forget it. We are so glad that you join us on our weekly radio live show here on Tantalk 1340 a.m. and join us week after week. So many of you do. You can go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. You can actually give a donation, your tithes, your offerings on PayPal. You can give to the ministry that God has called us to do at Beacon of Hope, where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. We hope you've enjoyed today's show. If you ever cannot listen live to a show, our dear engineer Bill in there has it to us so that we have it on our website by Monday morning of every week. And all of our past shows of 2010 and some of our previous years are on our website. You can listen in the middle of the night when you can't sleep very well. Go to beaconofhopeministries.com and pull up our shows and let God bless you. We want to hear from you. If you have a prayer request, you can write us at prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. Those prayer requests are answered right away. A prayer goes out for you. We have a huge radio team. You can be a part of that team by writing us at prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. It's not far to Jesus, and it's been a great radio show today with Deb and Connie. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries bringing you God's Word of Hope for you today. Join us next week at 4 o'clock, Tampa time. Until then, may you have a great week, and may you know that God loves you so very much.